Morning, everybody.
Yeah, morning, everybody.
Tof, so we started this sugya yesterday. Just 1 second, the recording's working. Tof, so we started yesterday. Probably the most difficult sugyas you'll ever learn. Probably one of the most widely discussed subject. This is something that's been plaguing great minds forever, and that is the role, the place, that better word, for Yesurim against the backdrop of a infinitely loving, caring, totally in control God. You have a infinitely loving, infinitely caring, kind God who only created the world for the benefit of the recipients, us, didn't do it for himself. He's shalom b'kol min ha-shleimus. There's nothing he's lacking. There's nothing he gets from the world. Where's there room for Yesurim in that environment? So that's a plague bigger minds than yours and mine since time eternal. We have to try to understand it against the backdrop of the halacha. Exactly, the Torah demands things of us. We have to understand what is Yisurim, what's its nature, how can you mevarech al ha-toyf, remalech al ha-rak, Hashem shemach al ha-toyf, the same simcha. We see that we have different brachas. If something good happens, you make a bracha tov emeti. Something that seemingly to us looks bad, we say bruch ha-emet. So there is a distinction. The Torah is telling you there's different things, and yet the simcha levels have to be the same. There's a long move on. So let's see. Let's see how we can try and understand a little bit better. I'm going to understand everything here. We're just trying to understand a little bit better how this fits into the Ma'arechet. I'm going to start again from... we don't have to start from the beginning. We did the first shtickle there on Reishut Ches and Perek Aleph. Perek Aleph of this chelek, which is called Anaf Bet, in the second half of the Sefer. It deals with Yitzchak more. Avram we dealt with, now we're dealing with Yitzchak more. So we said that there were three avos. Mesiras Nefesh was the hallmark of Yitzchak Avinu. It was Mesiras Nefesh there by the Akedah. And we said, in order to really understand this, we have to understand that's where we got the koyach to Mesiras Nefesh, the Kabbal Yisurim Ba'ava. We need to understand a little bit what happened there. So that's what we're going to start today. On the bottom there of Reishut Ches. We'll do this again. Yitzchak Avinu Moses Nafshu Lemisa B'Maisa Keda. To do it, Yitzchak Avinu was Maisa Nefesh. V'kachu Hinchilanu Bona V'chor V'sakoyach La'amud B'Nisoyinu L'Misoyis Nafshenu B'Simcha Al Kedushas Hashem. From him we got the koyach, that genetic material that we have that enables us to be Maisa Nefesh, Merchal Hashem Shemaim, the Simcha we got from him. And don't understand the sugya properly. We have to apply what happened at the Akedah to our generation. We need to use this, not just a nice history. And you heard about Yitzhak and Gvaldik and an unbelievable grandfather. Now I'll go back to bed. We have to do something with that in our generation. Those principles, and Torah is not telling stories. So it's teaching us principles that we have to apply and adapt to our lives. So in this generation that's riddled with Yisurim from all sides, we need to understand what happened there, what's going on there, so we can apply it to us. Chila, aleinu lagdim kama milim. We need some introductions here. Nisoyna Akedah haya nisoyna achron shel Avram Avinu. Essentially, the nisoyin of the Akedah was Avram Avinu's nisoyin, was his last nisoyin, the last of the 10 nisoyinas. When the son there, you gear the reim dargosay, he reached the pinnacle of his achievement there. Hashem omalo, ata yedati kirele kiyare elokim ato. Now I know that you're a yire elokim. Ato yedati Hashem said. The dagazu Avram Avinu lo yegir biyomecha. And he didn't get there in one day. He went through 9 Nisyonos before he got to this one. After jumping into the fires of Kibshana Aish and Lech Lecha and the poverty and all the Nisyonos that he went through, Yishmael was one of the Nisyonos, according to somebody showing him. Hashem didn't know that he was Yirael of Kim then. Only by the Akedah, Hashem says, Atta Yadati, now I can see you, now. And what you did up till now, and we see that. It says that if Abraham Avinu had not passed the last test, the other test would have been mavutul. It would have been nothing. But it also needs an understanding. Aval, he didn't get there in one day. Kodmer Adagazu Masechtas Chaim Aruchu Shilamid Ben Yisoynet. Abraham Avinu went through an entire life of being Oymed Ben Yisoynet. Kashi Abraham Hikias Boirei, Hukias HaEmes, Shibimitzius Hashem Ve'es HaShekes Shaboyres Elikim. Abraham Avinu, when he was, whenever it was, he recognized the truth in the Metzias of Hashem, and he saw the sheker of the Avodah Zorah that the whole world was involved in. From the moment he recognized the truth, that the truth is Hashem, and not what the Baal Avodah Zorah of his generation was involved in, represented by Nimrod, he was ready to give up his life for that. No question. He went against his father, the Rosh philosopher, the inventor of religion, the big high priest there. But neged Malchut Nimrod, he went up against the most powerful person in the universe at the time, the biggest Rosh that ever lived, the Shoresh of all Rishis in the world, Nimrod. Asher Zorokoto Lekib Shanaish. He even tried to makariv Nimrod. He had a vikuach, a debate with Nimrod. Fearless. And he would do anything, just he wasn't giving up his imunah. Do whatever you want to me, but I'm not giving up my imunah. Avram Avinu took upon himself two jobs, two missions, after he internalized, he understood the MS. The first one was he entered into a covenant, he cut a bris, a covenant, whatever that means, we'll see. He entered into a covenant of love with Hashem. He has a yochid, not as a nation yet, but as a yochid, rectified, he came to be mashlim in himself for sure, that which Adam Arishan had destroyed in the chet. That Adam that was created yochid, he gave that back to Hashem. Adam Arishan destroyed that. Adam Arishan destroyed that, and Avram Avinu gave that yochid that Adam Arishan was supposed to be. He gave that back to Hashem. Adam Arishan nivra yechidi ubishviloi nivra ha'olam. We know that Adam Arishan was created as one person. He was created bishvili nivra ha'olam. Achu also mashu also v'kolosh bochu ibe kiviyochol oisi yochid shibishvili nivra ha'olam. He did what he did, whatever that was about. And Hashem lost that Adam, that Yochi that was created, Bishvili Nivra Elo. Hashem didn't have anybody to be mashed in the brier with now. After 20 generations from Adam to Avram, he came along on Avram Avinu and said, okay, I'll give you back what Adam Arishan didn't want to give you. I'll give you back that Yochi. That's what he did. Echad hayo Avram. Avram was Echad. Avram Avinu nasa kiviyochel Echad im HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ulekach HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'shar shireit sheyoyret. Latziles Avram b'kiv shanayish. When the Gemara tells us when Avram Avinu was in the kiv shanayish, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Ani yochid ba'olami v'Avram yochid ba'olami. I'm yochid in my world. And Avram's yochid in his world. He was the only one in his world. Rei le'yochid lahatziles ha'yochid. It's only fitting that the Yochid should be Matzilas HaYochid. Okay, that's a nice emotional, cute understanding. You have to understand what he means. He's Yochid. I'm Yochid. So it's only right that the Yochid matzils the Yochid. Some sort of camaraderieship. I don't think that's what's going on here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyochol Haya Levadoi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is alone. I don't know why he says Kaviyochol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is alone. There is nothing else other than him, so he's alone. Einish Dairish Eselokim B'kol HaBriya. Maybe that's what he means. There's nobody looking for Hashem anywhere in the Bria. Nobody's interested in Hashem. Nobody wants to have a relationship with him. Nobody's particularly concerned with what Hashem thinks. That's what the world Avraham Avinu lived in looked like. Avraham Avinu gam hu omod levode b'kol oivde edelim shebo'ilo. Avraham Avinu stood up against the entire universe, the entire world of Avodah Zarah. He stood up against them. Yushalavodo Yechidi, he was alone. That's why it's called Avram, because he was on one side of the world. Everyone was on the other side of the world. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu yored latzile mekivshan ha'esh, shishneim nikshru yachad bebris ava. Hashem came and took him out of the kivshan ha'esh. That means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the upper world is called Yochid. Avram Avinu down here is called Yochid. As Hashem takes him out of the kivshan ha'esh, the upper and the lower are now united in a thing called Yochid. And that's from Ava. Okay, the Gematria of Ava is Echot, the Bris Ava there. As I know, a saga called Shemaya Chet of Adam Rishon. We don't understand what the Chet of Adam Rishon was. We can't understand what Adam Rishon was. We don't know what the Chet was. We don't know what the Eitz Hadas was. Nachmi Loedim Klumsha Aval, Gefi Shelem Doinu Chazal, Alenu Lidmoid Mikan Idnim Gevur. Chazal, what Chazal revealed to us and gave us, we can learn something very, very higher. Ram Veniso is Hamaskonas Hanugois Lanu. What's relevant to us, the Maskonas that comes out of that Maisa, what Adam Rishon did, we need to learn and apply to our life. Because in order to understand Avraham Avinu, you have to understand what he came to rectify. We don't understand what Adam Rishon did, you don't know what you're fixing. Arechas Ateva Hima Arechas Musuderes, Shaboyis Barach Sida Lakola Nivrei. The Olam Ateva, the natural world, is a very well-ordered system that HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranged and organized in all the aspects of the creatures. Mareche zu murkeves mesibus umesoivivit. The system that, like it's a whole shiur, we have to go back, there's hakdomas to this that you maybe need from a desla, well, let's just work with this in the meantime. This natural system appears to function to cause an effect. Mesibus umesoivivit. Causes and effects. Mashmaisa dvarimisha called Dover Bebriya Mukrachu Bamaisa Vinyono. Everything is Mukrach, everything is imperative. It has to be where it is, how it is. Vunosin the Misgeret Kfur Miblia Cholet Ninatek Mimen. It's part of a system that it can't break out of. Humamshich Lepol Mitrchsiba Hamachricho Toli Inyanze. It functions the way it does because of a pre-existing cause that forces it to function like that. Take an example. Im nikach ledugma is bale chayim, hem oichlim shoysim porim verovim. Take the animals in the world, the wild animals, they eat, they drink, they reproduce. Ulam kula poelo seilu nasis etz lamitoy chachrech. They do this, they don't have a choice. Then they've got an elephant woke up one morning and said, nah, I think I'm going to fast today. I need to eat. I'm not going to eat. I need to work on myself a bit. Well, you know what? I don't feel like having children. There's children, you know, little elephants running around. They're just trouble. They're not worth the worry. They're not worth the problem. I've got everything I need. Lotzarich. Never happened. Never happened. They do what they do out of force. Instinct, if you want to call it. Hagoshes harev machrichoi bal achayim letoach hamazayinu. He has an inbuilt feeling of hunger, which forces him to go look for food. Lions, I can tell you now, are the laziest animals, okay? Lazier than anything. Yeah. So why does he go after, and it takes a lot of effort. It's very hard for lions to go bring down the buffaloes and eat what they need to eat. They need to do that. Ma'od, ma'od, kasher. It's hard work for them. Why do they do it? Because he's hungry. There's a cause, there's a pre-existing siba that causes him to do what he's doing. And The lion, there's no choice. He has to do what he has to do. And the animal that he brings down that he eats also has no choice. He was meant to be eaten. That's the system. There's no... Okay. Zumarechet Zgura. It's a closed circle. Everything's functioning in cause and effect. What's moving him, what's driving him is his hunger. Every part of the bria is functioning like that. That's why you can get confused and think that it's natural. When things repeat themselves over and over and over, you look for the laws of nature that make that thing work, and then you see cause and effect, and then you don't see the Yad Hashem behind. So the nature is mastering the reality that there is no nature. That's what nature is. It's a mask that Hashem wears to hide himself so that we can have Bechir. Yeah. The repetition of the nature forces you to come up with a law of nature. So you look at the way it works and you make the law of nature. It's like the archer in the Moshel of the Dubna Magid. The archer who told people he can always hit the target. He can always hit the bullseye. No matter how far he shoots from, no matter where, conditions, wind, rain, he always hits the bullseye. Every time. Impossible. How do you do that? He said, well, first he shoots the arrow and then he paints the target around it. That's exactly what's going on here. You take the nature, and you see how it works, and then understand the laws of nature. That's another Torah word. The nature looks like it does because the laws of nature say that's how you have to function. You don't derive the laws from the nature. The laws create the nature. Anyway, but it's the repetition that forces and causes people to find causes and effects, and then that hides the reality. Then you see nature for what it is, for what it isn't, for nature. It's not nature, it's Nes, it's Kulu Nes. But that's what's going on, and that's in every part of the Bria. No animal, no creature, no star, no plankton, no subatomic particle, no matter how big, no matter how small, can break himself out of this marechet. Rak loy nitein mimaroimim koyach habechira libcho ben tov l'ra. Only Adam was given bechira to choose between good and bad. Animals don't do that. Function out of natural, sort of called instinct. You have to understand that very important. Where Bechira functions, what is Bechira? Bechira isn't the choice of whether to eat chocolate ice cream or vanilla ice cream. So yeah, chocolate, tomorrow eat vanilla. Zelo Bechira. It's some form of a choice, but it's not Bechira. That's part of the natural order of things. People have a natural desire. Some people like sweet, terrible sweet tooth. Other people can't. They don't like sweet. They like sour. Your natural tendencies tend to push in one way or another. Some days you might actually like sweet. The next day you don't feel like sweet. Today you feel like a bit sour. They're a little bechira. It's part of your natural instinct, the natural marechet. Lo hu b'ocho b'kach, kumonei adei asibah shekod malakach. It comes from a pre-existing cause. Ha-bechina v'shosh is ha-nu shayne l'chalotin v'oiz neva l'halam. Okay, now we're going to enter into a big subject. Bigger than big. This is the entire secret of the Bria. This is the entire, around this subject flows everything that relates to even why we're here. Is a subject called Bechira Chofshit. We're not going to be able to go into the whole subject. We'll do more, hopefully, and understand more than when we saw the last time. About Bechira is, that's who we are. We actually are nothing other than our Bechira. Your body is your body. There's very little you can do about that. Your Neshama is your Neshama. There's very little you can do about that. All you can do is use your Bechira proper. The Bechira decisions you make, that's who you're going to be in the end. The meters and the qualities that you came into this world pre-packaged, pre-programmed, you don't get schar for that. Ulama ba is the schar, what you made out of yourself. The only thing you make out of yourself is how you use your bechira. the things that you do automatically, the things that you have that you've got given, you're very clever. Let's say you're very clever, you've got a great memory. So, you know, Lama Bayi, you don't gonna, your memory is not going to help you too much there. If you used it properly and you used it to build and used your memory, but if he hasn't got a good memory, he just remembers everything he sees. So he gets up there, he knows a lot. No one's going to give him anything for that. And I know Lama Bayi for that. Because you didn't do anything. That was just something you had, and it was whatever. You had a photographic memory, so you remembered everything. It's a big deal. Bechira is what builds you and builds your Olam Haba. That's all we are, is Bechira. So you understand, that's a massive subject. It's also, you can't prove Bechira, by the way. If the scientists would set out to prove Bechira, they would have to come to the conclusion that they have Bechira, and they do. That's why everything's just automated. No one's responsible for anything anymore. All genetic, and it's upbringing, and it's what about Bechira? I'll give you an example, let's take the writing that there was in America. They went and they burnt and they whatever, after they killed, the cops killed that guy, that kid, whatever. There was terrible writing in America, and you heard people saying the following thing: we understand why they're doing what they're doing, because look where they're coming from. Look at their background. They come from an underprivileged background. They weren't given proper education. They were discriminated and prejudiced against. So we understand why they did what they did. If you understand that thinking limits a human being to his history, that's all he'll ever be. He'll never be more than his history. You've defined a human being by saying he's historic. That's all. Because of the way he brought up, so we understand why he killed somebody. There's no accountability. You can't arrest him, you can't punish him, because the law is not his fault. Now, there may be rare occasions where that's true. Rare occasion. But a human being is bigger than his history. A human being has traces. There were people who grew up in the ghettos and grew up with the same underprivileged, prejudiced background and made a life for themselves. Oh, that's impossible. No, it's impossible. If you have Bechira. We're much bigger than our Bechira. The person has to wake up at some stage and have a look and see. Whatever happened, fine. But I can make choices. I can live my life differently. Now, where exactly his Bechira is and where his choices are and what Hashem has planned for him there, we never know. But to limit a human being just to his history, that's tragic. But they don't have a choice. Because I can't acknowledge that there's a thing called Bechira, because you can't prove Bechira in a laboratory. With which of your five senses do you know that you have Bechira? We have five senses, yeah? Sight, smell, taste, touch, hearing. Five senses. With which of your five senses do you know that you have Bechira? You all know that you have Bechira? Everybody here knows he has Bechira? You let him move. You can blink your eyes or nod or do something minimal. Wave your flag. Yeah. So with which of your five senses do you know that you have Bechira? None. If you take away all your five senses, and you would slip Bechira, no? Think about it. You couldn't see, you'd have Bechira. You couldn't hear, you'd have Bechira. You'd know you have Bechira for sure. Couldn't smell, taste. You have Bechira. Bechira comes from an inner reality. It's something you know the same as you know that you exist. With which of the five senses do you know that you exist? None of them. Because if I take away your five senses, you would still know that you exist. We have an inner knowledge, what Rav Dessler calls a mabata pnim. It's the things you know that don't come from the five senses. The data that you process that doesn't come from the five senses. Very important to use the ones that do come from the five senses as well. No one's sure. So how are you going to prove that in a laboratory? How are you going to take Bechira and cut it up and put it in a lab and prove it? You couldn't. Therefore, any scientific study that's desiring to examine and see whether it's Bechira or not has to come to the conclusion that Bechira, because the tools they're using are tools that you can't find Bechira with. You can't discover Bechira using the five senses, and they have nothing else. You live in a world where you don't have Bechira, so there's no accountability. That's the first problem when you start trying to understand something about Bechira. Is the world denies that you have Bechira, but we know we have Bechira. First of all, you can't have Schav Oynish without Bechira. So if you don't think you have Bechira, then you're a Kofer again. Not a Kofer, because you don't have accountability. Now, that doesn't mean you have open-ended, infinite accountability. There's certain areas we don't have Bechira. That's what Dessler's famous Nekudat HaBechira. Your Bechira is only where you have Bechira. The Moshe he uses there is, let's say, a wall. There's a war going on between Germany and, let's say, France, whatever, just for the sake of this conversation. So the battle is over there on the border where Germany and France meet, that's where the battle is. There's a war in Berlin. There's a war in Paris. No, in Paris and Berlin, there's no war. Yeah, but Germany's at war with France. Yeah, but the battlefront is only where the battlefront is. If France would mitgaber and push German back until 50 kilometers from Berlin, then the new war zone would be 50 kilometers from Berlin. It wouldn't be there on the border where it was before. There's no war now. Now the war's where it is. The same with Bechira. We don't all have Bechira in every area. A certain thing might be way beyond a person's ability to even think about having a choice there. Somebody brought up in the inner city slums, like we mentioned earlier. So for him not to steal is not a Bechira. It's just that's how he's been programmed. That's his nature, that's his teva. He may be able to have Bechira. He has Bechira somewhere. So his Bechira maybe is not to kill the person before he steals. Everybody else, that's what they do. You know, you kill the guy, then you steal. So he might have a Bechira not to kill, whatever it is. But to steal could be that he's honest. He doesn't have a choice there. For somebody else, the thing might just be so low for him, he couldn't even imagine doing it. Loshon Hora for the Chofetz Chaim. I don't know. We don't know what his nishoinus were. But let's say for the Chofetz Chaim speaking Loshon Hora, he doesn't have Bechira for that because it's so disgusting for him. It's like putting your head into a sewer. Nobody puts his head in a sewer. For the Chofetz Chaim, that's a Loshon Hora way to respond. For you, having a cheeseburger may not be you don't have Bechira there. Maybe you do, but maybe you don't. You don't eat cheeseburgers at all. You know, it's not shaykh. Smoking on Shabbos, let's say. The person smokes during the week, but he knows Shabbos, he puts his cigarettes away, that's it. You know, it's not like he has a Bechira there. For somebody smoking on Shabbos when he starts becoming frum could be a massive Bechira. You have Bechira in every area of your life. In the areas you have Bechira, and it's Bechira. The definition of Bechira, based on what you're saying here, is that there's no pre-cause. If there's a pre-cause before your choice, then it's not Bechira. It's not Chofshi. Then it's cause and effect. You had a draft to do something, you did it. Bechira, in essence, is a spontaneous creative act with nothing that comes before it. So there we have to see, that's a hard, you understand. Trying to wrap your brain around that one. They look called pashut. Especially you can't take it and put it on the lab table and dissect it because you don't have the senses to grapple with it. So we have to understand what Bechira is. That's just some of the philosophy behind it. Practically, we'll see that Bechira essentially is actions that a person does. It goes against his natural nature. It goes against his natural drive. That means Hashem, we'll start next week. We'll start dealing with the subject of Bechira. You think about it a little bit, you'll see. You'll come up with lots of questions. Bechira, I mean, the Rambam and the books on non-Bechira. If you want to just see how hard it is, Rabbi Tetz has also wrote the whole book on Bechira. Dredge that one out and go and have a look. There are many subjects relating to Bechira, but it's the subject. Somehow that's not something that's taught in the schools and it's not taught in the Beis Yankivs, and nobody takes the subject out and packs it and unravels it for the people, because I don't know why not. There's no subject more important than that. Everything, the whole of Yiddishkeit turns on the fulcrum of Bechira. And nobody teaches it, nobody discusses it, nobody debates it, it's like a closed subject. So besides being very dangerous, you raise a whole generation not knowing they have Bechira in a world where the whole world's thinking you don't have Bechira. You don't have Bechira, it's genetic and it's this, and they find a gene to excuse everything. So there's a modern Masukan, we have Bechira. That's the whole essence of what a Jew is Bechira. To ignore that and to pretend it doesn't exist and to pretend that you can't make wrong Bechira decisions, you know, you can get it wrong also. No, don't say that. No. We don't make mistakes. We perfect. We don't. We if there's problems, it's somebody else that looks like me, but it's not me. It's the other guys. The guys down the road there. They're the ones that do the problems. We fine. There's nothing more dangerous to live like that. That's churban also. Bechira means you're likely to get it wrong also sometimes. You're going to have chesronos. You're going to have problems. You have to work on them. Where's avoda if we don't do anything wrong? If we're perfect, why are we here? Why are we here? The God says you come into the world to fix up your problems. If you don't have any problems, if everything's perfect, that's what he's doing here. He says it himself, Lama tachai, what are you living for? We have an entire generation brought up to think that they're perfect. And if there is a problem, it's not to do with me, it's somebody else. Somebody who looks different, dresses different, lives different, but it's not me. We fine, we perfect. No, Bechira is going to machayv built into the system that you're going to make mistakes. You're going to get it wrong sometimes. Okay, so tomorrow, what's tomorrow? Tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. We can do 9:35 tomorrow, or somebody we need to do it a bit later. Davening, I don't know what goes on. Who davens where, what? The Olam's okay with 9:35. Eli, you still okay? Your Minya and Menashe, you fine? Well, Shmuel, you can make it.
Goodbye, me.
Snake. Fine. Okay, so yeah, I can do it as well. It's a bit of a tight, but it should be fine. We don't have to change the timing. Okay, good. So tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem Shabbos Malchus, 9:35.
And it's Rosh Chodesh as well.
That's what I said. It's Rosh Chodesh. That's why I was asking if we're going to make it later because davening's longer. Maybe didn't make myself clear. That's what I meant. If we can do it at 9:35 still because it's Rosh Chodesh and davening's longer.
I wouldn't mind 9:45, but it depends on the Olam.
I'm fine. Shabbos is starting to come in late. It depends on everybody else. What did the Olam want?
9:45 is fine by me too. Whatever's convenient.
Actually, 9:45, okay. Rav Shmuel, 9:45
is good, Rebbe.
9:45, okay. So, Be'ezrat Hashem, 9:45 tomorrow.
Have a great Chodesh.
Take good care. All the best.
Go. It's Chodesh.